What's good, everybody? Pete Jensen back with you. Robbie Reese in the house as well, his own house, I should say. And of course, Davey Satriano joining us, good friend of the show. It's been a while, guys, since we've all been together, but this is a good opportunity for us to wrap up the 2020-21 season as the thing came to a close with the Tampa Bay Lightning repeating as Cup champs. How about it, guys?
Yeah, congrats to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Davey, good to see you. How's everything been going?
Everything's good. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw my NHL.com picks, but had Lightning in five, said there was going to be a shutout in the clinching game. And I mean, obviously had Vasilevsky's Conn Smythe. It's all in writing. So, you know, if anyone wants some more advice, you know where to find me.
Davey, we know where to find you at Goalie Master. We got you.
We do. Robbie had Lightning in five as well. Robbie also had the Lightning getting back to the final at the beginning of the season. Seems like ages ago. It seems like the past two abbreviated seasons feel like forever, but it's, you know, dating back to last August that we've been kind of chronicling everything that's been happening and putting the fantasy spin on everything. And we'll continue to do so all off season long. It's going to be a really exciting one, especially with the Seattle expansion draft. You're going to have the NHL draft. You're going to have free agency, the whole bit, some big names on the trade block as well. So looking forward to previewing it right here with you guys.
I do want to tip my cap to the Canadians. You know, nice playoff run for them. I think they overachieved a little bit, and it's always nice, I think, for a young team like the Habs to take that next step and to kind of have that confidence going into next year. Now, I did see a number this morning. Petey, you sent it to me, plus 1,800 for the Habs to win the Cup next year. I think that is a bit of Vegas saying, hey, we might need to take advantage of these Montreal Canadiens fans that really got up from this Cup run. I think that is absolutely absurd. We can talk about that more later, but I did want to tip my cap there, Davey. I think we saw a lot of good things from guys like Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield that kind of make me feel like this team is going to be really valuable in fantasy next season.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only concern I have is, you know, they acquired a lot of these veteran guys for the run. I mean, they got Toffoli locked up, but Corey Perry and, you know, they got a, not that, you know, Joel Edmondson was okay, but Jake Allen didn't play, but they had all these guys that had won Stanley Cups and all this experience. And I just, yes, they made great strides, the Suzuki's, the Caulfield, but I still see them as, you know, let's not forget in the season, they had 20 wins and like, I think 36 losses or something. So if things go back to normal next season and, you know, the playoffs format is the way it was, I don't think they're finishing top three in the, you know, normal division with where they would be in with what, Tampa, Boston, Florida. So, I mean, I don't really know if they would make one of the wild cards, honestly, if the playoff format is back to previously. So I think they had a good run, but I don't really see it as continuing. I would be surprised, honestly. I'd be surprised if they were in the playoffs next year, but maybe that's just me.
Wow, surprised if they'll even make the playoffs. I mean, it's a reality with Montreal. They're not a juggernaut type team, so they could step back and slip up a little bit, couple of injuries to the wrong guys, and that could happen. So, yeah, good point by Davey that as much as the ceiling might be higher than we expected entering this season based on what happened, the floor is also pretty low for Montreal. So I'm most excited about Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, Tyler Toffoli playing on the same line. Alexander Romanov scored a goal late in the series. He's a player that I think has a much higher ceiling once he gets integrated in a bigger role. So for Montreal, speaking fantasy-wise, those are the only guys that I would take a flyer on. You know, after the top 100, I tried to target Caulfield. When you get deeper down the line, maybe you can get Suzuki around the top 125, 130. I'm less interested in the Carey Prices and the Shea Webbers and even the Jeff Petries to replicate what they did in the playoffs or the regular season. I feel like just because of the state of the team, it's going to be tough to replicate for Montreal and certainly tough to go as far as they did, let alone win the thing. So I actually like teams behind them on the odds board, like the Islanders and the Florida Panthers, teams that played Tampa Bay the best this postseason. And you can get some great odds on those teams. I think those teams have a better chance, like with Anders Lee coming back from injury, Aaron Ekblad coming back from injury. I'm a little bit more interested in those teams than I am in Montreal.
I will say, I think Carey Price did show me something, guys, in terms of fantasy for next regular season. Obviously, the past few years, I know Petey and I have kind of avoided that name as a number one goaltender just for some statistical concerns, some health concerns. But he's a player that I do feel like he did gain value in the postseason just because we know that he is Carey Price. And he solidified that when he wants to play the best that he can do that any night in and out. So I kind of like that idea of having the Canadians tandem in season long next year. Again, I'm not reaching for that player. I never would, but I think when you look in terms of draft stock, I think Cole Caulfield, you nailed it, is a player that's probably going to shoot up the board a little bit just because there's so much intrigue with that name. The chemistry that he formed in the postseason looked really good. And then just the team security, I think with Tyler Toffoli and that great team friendly contract, like those guys are going to put up some nice points next year. And, you know, hopefully everything stays normal and the Bell Center is going to be rocking. So I think that's a good situation, but I do want to just talk about two of the top five scorers on Tampa Bay. I mean, what we saw out of Nick Kucherov was simply sensational. You can't discount that at all. And Davey, now I kind of feel like with his performance in the postseason, not that it was surprising to any one of us, but it did, I think, at least warrant the conversation of should Nick Kucherov be considered for first overall in fantasy, or maybe two or three right after Mac or Connor McDavid?
Well, firstly, I think he should definitely be considered, especially for his press conference after the game. That was, I don't know if you guys saw it, that was a number one press conference of all time. It was amazing all around. If you haven't seen it, you have to go watch it. Secondly, John Cooper, he was asked about Kucherov, you know, because you said no one's talking about these guys who Kucherov led the playoffs in points the past 2 years, and Point led the playoffs in goals the past 2 years. That doesn't happen a lot. 2 years in a row, the same guy. So Cooper was asked about Kucherov, and he said, if you had to put five guys' names in a hat on who the best player is in the NHL right now, he said Kucherov would have to be in that hat. And you have to agree with him. We all know it was, you know, the cap reasons. He had the surgery, didn't play. But to come back in the playoffs, which we all know it's a different animal, lead the playoffs in points, everything he did, I wouldn't take him number one, but I would have to say, to me, after you do a Crosby or if you take McDavid, McKinnon, I mean, I can see him as being a number three, especially now that we know he's healthy. He had, 32 points in 20-something playoff games. So he's definitely a 100-point scorer in 80-game season. We saw that, 120-something 2 years ago. So I agree with you. I think his stock went up. I mean, he was probably already a late first or early second, but I can definitely see the case for taking him three overall even right now.
I like it at three, whether you're going to take, obviously you're going to take McDavid one. I mean, because it's the regular season, right? Like we can knock him that he hasn't gone far in the playoffs, but he's the solidified number one pick. We've kind of contested it in recent years, but I'm not going to contest it for next year. So McDavid one, then if you want to go Kucherov over McKinnon, I can understand that. I'd probably still take McKinnon, Kucherov over Draisaitl. I mean, it's maybe a little more risky than Draisaitl. Draisaitl's been a slam dunk each of the past 2-3 seasons. So Kucherov has dealt with some injury. So just something to worry about. The Lightning have played a lot of hockey, but certainly at 3 or 4, Kucherov's going to be gone whether you want him or not. But he will move up. I think before the playoffs with the injury concern, we had him at 7, 8, or 9, but he will definitely be in the top five, maybe even at 3 or 4. So, and we're going to update the top 250 rankings today, so you could check those out and digest them for the next couple of weeks on nhl.com/fantasy.
Yeah, I think you'll see four of those guys go top 20 in almost every single league, including Braden Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, and Hedman. Oh, and Vasilevsky. I mean, they've got five guys that are going to be probably top 20 consensus picks in all league formats. Stamkos is probably the guy that you could see maybe around 25, 30. But if he's dual eligible, which he probably will be next season, I mean, that is great value. And, you know, spare me the whole, oh, this won't be the same Lightning team, they're going to lose some contracts. Yeah, but I mean, those top guys are still going to deliver in fantasy. So when you look at just that lens alone, it doesn't matter if they're going to run away with the President's Trophy or not. Those guys are going to cash in. And I think a good example of this is a couple of years ago, Nick Kucherov got off to a kind of slow start where he was barely putting up a point per game. And then from January 1st on, absolutely dusted the rest of the season. So I do think this team is the safest in fantasy by a long shot. And then Colorado and Vegas, I think, are two teams that I've kind of took away from the playoffs being just a little bit more puzzled by Vegas. Obviously, their offense, we knew they didn't have a true number one center, but just for Mark Stone to kind of dry up like that was a bit of a head scratcher. And then for Colorado, I think where I'm kind of coming at this in fantasy is not that I'm questioning Nathan MacKinnon. I'm taking him too alongside you, Pete. But for me, it's like, what beyond MacKinnon, McCarr, Landeskog, and Rantanen are you kind of finding with Colorado? I'm not sure about that. I mean, their second line, obviously with Kadri getting suspended, was not up to the bill in the playoffs. And then, you know, when MacKinnon had three straight games without a point, they didn't have enough horses around them to get over the hump. So a little bit disappointed there. I still like the team a lot, but I think I look to that team in the offseason and maybe make a little bit of a shakeup and bring in a more of a scoring name to round out that second line.
Well, the thing about Colorado is Joe Sakic, he's done a great job the last two seasons. He's just like filled all the holes that they've needed and got Kadri. He got, you know, Grubauer for goalie. He picked up Saad, who I don't know if he may have led them right in scoring. Would he have 8 goals in the playoffs? But they're going to have to probably lose him. I mean, they have a lot of contracts to sign. Makar is clearly not going anywhere, but Landeskog's a UFA. I mean, obviously they want to keep him. You think they will, but they have some cap concerns too. So you're right. I don't know what they're going to look like next year. They're going to have to make another splash, but just quickly going back to what you said on Tampa Bay, how, you know, they're not going to be the same team next year. I didn't look at the odds, so I'm not sure what their cup chances are again to three-peat, but if it's not super high or maybe, you know, halfway through the season, it might be worth a flyer just because, you know, they might struggle early. They've played what in 9 months, they won the Stanley Cup twice. They've played probably 80 to like another half a season, or 50, 60 games maybe in the playoffs plus two seasons. You know, and you mentioned Kucherov's going to be healthy, but I assume they're going to lose a guy like Blake Coleman just because he's an unrestricted free agent. They have money issues, you know. Tyler Johnson in the playoffs, he steps up. He might be off to Seattle. We don't know. So the roster will look different. If Tampa Bay's odds are not that high to start, I would definitely take them. And like I said, I feel like they'll struggle early on just because, you know, cup hangover, 2 years. So that's, to me, is a price I'd look at either now or, a month into the season when they're struggling.
Right. I see plus 750 on BetMGM for the Lightning to three-peat. As long as they have their big five intact, I mean, you hear Cooper talking about it, you hear Stamkos talking about it, but does that mean one of the big five is going to be gone in Tampa? I don't really see it. I'd rather, you know, get rid of the depth players and try to find some bargain bin hunting. You know, they've done it before, but I mean, unless they lose one of their big five players or are forced to trade them or something, like, or one of them's injured, I think they're going to still be in the hunt for the Stanley Cup next year. And they're going to be tough to beat because in the playoffs, right, we saw it this year, they morph into whatever they need to be. If they get outshot, they still win. If it's a 1-0 game, they're usually on the good side of it. Their power play went silent in the cup final, but then they ramped it up at 5-on-5 and it didn't matter. They were 2-for-15 in the cup final against that stout Montreal penalty kill, but it didn't matter. They still won the series in 5. So just things to consider about Tampa Bay's adaptability, as long as they still have those five guys, which I believe they probably will.
Tampa is stacked, and look at the goalie. Look at Vasilevsky. I said it a couple months ago. There's close to Vasilevsky, and he put it on paper. It's look at his stats. He's 26 years old, what he's accomplished. So to me, as long as they have Hedman, Kucherov, heck, get Stamkos out of there. I don't even need to include Stamkos. They have Kucherov, and they have Hedman, and they have Vasilevsky, and they have all these younger players that are coming up in the mix. Tampa is going to be tough. The only thing that could keep them from winning is complacency, because do they really have it in them to win three?
So two quick points. One, John Cooper yesterday, he was asked about Vasilevsky, you know, because for some reason, this guy's outside of Tampa Bay and hardcore hockey fans. He's underrated. Cooper said, I feel like tonight the torch was passed from Carey Price, who was the best goalie in, you know, in my generation, to Vasilevsky, who now he's led the league in wins 5 years in a row, Stanley Cup, two of them, the Conn Smythe. So he's pretty much done everything. We know he's number one. He's going to be number one again. The second point, the Lightning scored one goal yesterday. It was scored by Ross Colton, and David Savard had an assist. That's two players of the They had 21 skaters in the playoffs. 19 of them were on the roster last year. Those were the only two guys, I believe, who played yesterday that were not on the Cup team. And it just shows you what, whether it's a trade they got, Savard or Colton, a young guy that comes in, it just everything seems to work for them. Just that, to me, that was amazing. The two guys who weren't on the team last year had the biggest impact in the clinching game.
Well, crazy. I'm not buying that whole Stamkos get rid of him conversation there. I think he's an integral part of the team. I do think he kind of brings the insurance policy. You want to have the high upside, but you also want to have like the Steve Stamkos, Bob, like good mentor, good guy in the room, like kind of proven guy.
I didn't mean get rid of him. I mean, like, think about it. They won the Cup last year with him not even playing a game. Like, to me, the players on the team are Kucherov, Hedman, Vasilevsky. Those are your three. Those are your three end point. Yeah, right, Davey. That's a guy I even didn't even mention. Those are the guys to me right now as we look ahead to the future with this team. Stamkos, you know, you keep him around. He's the captain. I get what you're saying, Robbie. I didn't mean get rid of him, ship him out. It's an embarrassment of riches is really what it comes down to with Tampa at this point.
Yeah, and it's a good problem to have. And that's why I would counter anyone saying, oh, they were $18 million over the cap. I mean, that argument has to be laid to rest and never brought up again. It's simply this Tampa Bay team is a league above anybody else. And the fact that they've done it with adversity the past two seasons, that is just so unpredictable, I think says even more about each one of those guys' character. But I do want to talk about two other forwards on different teams that stood out to me in terms of playoff value gained. The first is William Nylander, the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is just a player that I think we can all agree now on the roundtable here that we saw another gear from that player, especially when Matthews went kind of cold, only scoring one goal in the postseason. And Tavares getting hurt, you know, Willie leading them in points and goals was really that stamp of approval, I think, to solidify him as a true top 75 fantasy asset next season. And then the second one is Sam Bennett of the Florida Panthers. Just a really good showing for him. 5 points, 5 games, 18 shots on goal, you know, covering all the categories you want to see. And then beyond that, he has now the security of playing with Jonathan Huberdeau, who's really becoming pushing as a top 10 fantasy asset now as a left wing. So I really liked what I saw from Sam Bennett. So I would take Nylander and Bennett, stamp of approval, should be really, really good returns in fantasy next season.
That's going to be a good division, that Atlantic, when it goes back to it. I know, Davey, you mentioned a couple of teams with Tampa and Boston, but there's the Florida Panthers too. And then there's Toronto Maple Leafs too, who are going to be out for some redemption after another playoff failure. And
Canadians can't really finish ahead of any of those teams, right? I mean,
no,
probably not. But I mean, that's going to take away the wild card for any other team like Montreal or something like that. And then, of course, the other division is going to have the Rangers plus Gallant and whatever the moves they make to change their style of play. So they're probably going to get in as a wild card or a top three on the other side in the conference. So it's going to be tough. But back to Nylander. Really impressive what he did, even in defeat. When Tavares went down, he took it up another level that we hadn't seen before. You know, of course, he spent some time with, you know, Matthews earlier in his career. And then he was, you know, on that second line with Tavares mostly. And, you know, you didn't know how much of a product of JT he was until JT went down for the season in game one with that scary injury. I mean, you hope that JT is, you know, back and healthy for the start of next season. But I think, you know, even regardless, Nylander really showed us something. What do you have, like 8 points in 7 games or something like that? Really good stuff. He's one of the only players on Toronto that you couldn't place the blame on. I think there's a lot more blame being placed on Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. You know what, Matthews had one goal, Marner had none in the playoffs. I mean, that's unacceptable, but Nylander did everything he could and more to get that team over the hump this year.
To me, Robbie, you mentioned, I think Bennett was number one by far. You know, he's also a restricted free agent. So, I mean, clearly the Panthers aren't going to let him get away, but he needs a new contract. He's earned after the move from Calgary. He won me a couple of championships because of how he did in the final 3 weeks of the season. I mean, he was unreal, just carried it over in the playoffs. You have to think he's one of those guys, you hear it all the time. Oh, you know, a change of scenery. We all know what was going on with Calgary. He wanted out. He was having, you know, discourse with the coach and what a management, whatever. Has a great situation with who he's playing with in Florida. And I think even if he's a guy that they can move up and down the lineup, but they know this. And so to me, he's going to be the guy that is, I think has the is the highest upside after the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, especially because Nylander is clearly going to go higher in drafts anyway, no matter, you know, what he did in these playoffs. So Bennett, I think, is very, very sneaky because you can probably pick him. Well, you'll be able to get him a lot later in later rounds. And I think he'll carry over what he did in the season and in the playoffs too.
And for Stanley Cup odds, I would take Toronto right now, 12 to 1, 13 to 1, depending on what you can get it. The reason why I'm saying that, when these divisions go back to normal, I don't know what you're laughing at, Bob. I see you, Bob. Up Toronto again? Is it too early?
No. You know, Robbie, yeah. I agree with you. It's funny. Like, it's like you make the same mistake year in and year out. It's like you get high on Toronto. I was looking. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Maybe Toronto. Maybe, you know, they're always catching my eye. That's why I'm laughing, because I'm in the same boat. It's like at some point this team has to – they just have the players, I believe, and the will, I believe, too, because they've suffered so much. But that's why I'm laughing, because I'm going to be fooled again by Toronto. And you bring it up, and I'm looking at the team, too. And I'm like, you know what? This might be a team that I can take to win the Stanley Cup, even though, you know, the season just ended and I'm looking ahead to next year. But listen, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. How many
fool
times?
Me five times.
Fool me for two decades, right?
It's the definition of insanity if you keep going back to the well like that. But I'll go back and just make the argument. I think with the divisions going back to normal, like, there's a real chance for a team like Toronto to go deep. And whether it's a 2-3 matchup, let's say they're the 2 seed, you know, and they're playing a team like, you know, Boston 3 seed or Florida, whatever it shakes out to be. I just think that getting over that round one victory is going to be kind of what catapults that team into, wow, we are the real deal. We can play the hockey. And I would like to get that bet in prior to them doing anything this offseason that would make you feel even better about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I do like that a lot. I think there's appeal there. And then in terms of fantasy lens, like, I do want to see what happens in net with Freddie. I know they want to bring him back, but I just want to see it. I want to see it happen. I want to see them commit. He is the guy, in my opinion, there. I love what I saw from Jack Campbell, gentlemen, this past regular season in fantasy. Best waiver wire pickup for sure. But beyond that, I think, you know, it is Freddie. He's the proven guy. And then William Nylander. I know he's had 2 great seasons in a row now from fantasy, but I think this next one could be the one we see him get over the 70-point tick and maybe keep that 30-goal mark in range the whole season.
I worry about the style of play of a couple of teams that we've discussed already. Toronto's one of them. Colorado is another one. Colorado this year, I started to question not only their depth, but just the makeup of the team outside of the superstars. Like, can they play that playoff style when it gets deep into the, you know, second, third round? 2 years ago, they didn't have much depth at all besides their stars. That was the reason they lost that year. I think it was to the Sharks. And then last year they lost to Dallas because their top 2 goalies got injured. What's the excuse this year? They should have been better than that. Even without Kadri, they should not have lost 4 straight games to the Golden Knights, who ended up wiping out the next round. So, you know, that's something in hindsight that's I'm a little more skeptical, like you were saying, Robbie, earlier about Colorado and just the style they play. I think that they actually have to make some against the grain moves this offseason. And another guy that they're going to have to figure out is Grubauer. He's a UFA. Landeskog's a UFA. Makar is an RFA, like Davey mentioned. And then one other word I wanted to say on Sam Bennett. You know, put a post-it note on your desk or something, like, make sure you target this guy in the top. Let's see where his ADP is, but target him anywhere from 75 to 125. It'll probably be closer to 125, I'm thinking. But this guy, his floor with his hits, he covered plus minus. He covered almost every category, and he's only going to get better with a full season under his belt playing with Quenneville, you know, under Quenneville and playing with Huberdeau, like Robbie was hyping up. So I will definitely try to get Sam Bennett in almost every league I do next year, which is usually 4 or 5, but I'm excited. I'm penciling him in. He's going to be on my draft queue once the thing starts, you know.
15 leagues. Petey's in like 15 to 30 leagues. It's unbelievable what he's able to balance as far as the fantasy teams go.
Davey might be in more than me.
I mean, the Lightning are saying, oh, we got 2 rings, but remember, I went 4 for 4 this year. Yeah. So, hey, I got some shoes to fill next year, too. I got some things to do.
I love it. So, yeah. And, you know, just looking back at the playoffs and how things unfolded, I mean, as much as we love to look at the favorites and stuff like that, I think we could always look at, you know, Tampa Bay to 3-peat, Colorado or Vegas has a great chance of getting over the hump if they retool in the offseason a little bit and put the finishing touches. But the past few years, there's always a surprise team. It was Dallas playing that style, getting to the final in the bubble, Montreal scraping by Toronto and then going all the way to the final. So, you know, that's going to be the big question for next year. Even if Colorado or Vegas or Tampa Bay gets to the final, who's the other team going to be and how are they going to scrap their way, you know, along the line with good goaltending and four strong lines? Those are the things you have to look for moving forward when you place in a long shot wager on a team to make the final or a team to win the cup.
Now, two of the most entertaining series that I think back to the playoffs for me was in the first round. Tampa against Florida was just simply sensational hockey. I mean, every game you couldn't miss a minute, or you felt like you missed something, you know, a monumental hit or a great shot or something like that. So I do like Florida. I don't know if I would do anything for their Stanley Cup odds next season. I just want to see their offseason unfold a little bit. 24-1, I don't know. It's good, but I'm not super confident that they can go on a deep run in that division. On the other hand, I really liked the Minnesota Wild against the Vegas Golden Knights. That was another absolute blockbuster series in the NHL. And Minnesota, to me, I would maybe take something long shot on them. The reason why I say that, they've got a lot of young prospects coming in. But beyond that, just look at what they did in this regular season and postseason. They were a team that could play a couple of different ways, as you were mentioning, Pete, right? Like, that's a team that can kind of, you know, lock it down when needed. Cam Talbot played great, you know. They can also kind of trade chances when need be with Kaprizov, and hopefully that gets resolved. I know that there's been some KHL rumors, but probably just some meddling there to get a bigger deal. But regardless, I think Minnesota is a team that I really think could go on a nice little run here, and certainly wouldn't surprise any of us if they did upset like a team like Colorado or like Vegas again. So I think Minnesota, I would put something on.
What are the odds for Minnesota? Do we have those up?
Yeah, then Minnesota is right there in the conversation. They are
plus
at plus
2,000.
I see 24-1 in some sites for them too. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on that.
The Wild are definitely a team. The window to me is wide open for them. The goaltending is I'm a little shaky on the goaltending. I don't know if Cam Talbot has it in him again, but of course, Billy Guerin, that team. And the fact they're like a souped up Islanders team. I like them even more than the Islanders based on what I saw against Vegas and just Kaprizov, you know, him being an electric player. And I think Fiala has some more. I like the Wild as a play as well, Robbie. I hate to agree with you so often here, but that you should be definitely looking at the Wild if you're looking at, you know, cup futures and getting some nice long shot odds. They're definitely a team to keep an eye on.
Well, the thing about the Wild, you mentioned, Bob, they do play a lot like the Islanders. They have some guys. They got Eriksson Ek to that 8-year contract. They have to do same for Fiala now. I'm kind of worried that with the Kaprizov situation, like, we're not sure what the contract is going to be. He said he wants to kind of go back to Russia.
He's coming back. He's not going back to Russia.
They want to give him they can't seem to work out the length of the deal, but I have to agree with you. I think he'll be there this season. And if you put up, 60 points almost in 55 games, it would be great to see what he can do in a full season. But if you go win the Calder
and then all of a sudden you go back to Russia, that just doesn't happen, Davey. I don't even care what the contract situation is. And I know Russia will come in, one of these KHL teams, they'll push the chips in the middle of the table. I just don't see it happening because there's just, to me, you have more marketing opportunities. You just won the Rookie of the Year in the NHL, Davey, right? He's not leaving. Yeah. Anyone who's scared of that, I think that's just leveraged by Kaprizov's camp, but that's all I'll say on that.
So yeah, Minnesota, just quickly, Minnesota, I mean, we, as you guys both said, we saw they can play with anyone in the division. I mean, next year, I think they won't have Vegas in the division, I guess, but they'll still have Colorado. You know, they'll still be in the tough centrals. That division's always tough, but to me, I'm looking at a sneaky play, whichever team Corey Perry decides to sign with. I'll say that's who I'm going to take to make the cup final. They won't win it, but I'll say, you know what, we'll take him to make the final. So we might see where he ends up.
I'm most interested in where Jack Eichel goes. I think if Jack Eichel went to the Wild, then their odds would skyrocket. I think if he went to the LA Kings, same thing would happen. We already saw a little boost from the Victor Arvidsson trade, which I haven't gotten a chance to talk with you guys about, but I like how that adds a viable goal scoring wing that's capable of 25-30 if he's healthy to a team that had some of the worst wing depth in the league. So, and he's still in his prime, Arvidsson. So imagine, like, whether it's the Kings or the Wild, I think those are two scenarios where we could feasibly see Jack Eichel go to a team like either of those, and therefore you would look at them drastically different. Like the Wild, you know, I was seeing that number I mentioned earlier, Kings plus 5,000, you know, already got a little uptick. But if you get Jack Eichel in there with the championship core of Doughty, Kopitar, Quick, all of a sudden, and Quinton Byfield and Velarde and the great young prospects that they have, you know, if they can, if they don't have to trade one of those two, this is all hypothetical, but there are some teams out there that I think you like the style of play and they still have room to address their needs in the off season, which Minnesota, I think, has to bring in a center at some point to take the next step. So this is like some of the strategizing you can do before the moves happen, where then you can really get some good value if the team that you picked in the wagering ends up making a big splash, like for Eichel or Tarasenko or something like that.
Eichel's certainly going to be make or break. And for a team hoping to win a Stanley Cup, I think he'd be the piece, Bob. For Tarasenko, yeah. I know the rumors are flying around right now. I think in terms of fantasy, let alone cup odds, I would really have to see the fit for this player. I mean, I think in the regular season, you can make an NBA comparison here where you have kind of a veteran that's had some injury history. The regular season, you'd have to think load management comes to mind. Just let's kind of keep this guy fresh. Let's keep him in the lineup. Let's keep him healthy. So fantasy, I wouldn't go too high on his stock depending on the fit. I just think the minutes are going to be lower, but you know, he really would help a playoff team, and I think if you get to the dance, he's certainly a guy that can cash in. But I wouldn't run out there, you know, gung-ho hyping up Tarasenko for next year just because of the past few seasons, what we've seen.
Well, he's got the two shoulder injuries, he's hasn't played three, many games. Three, if you're the Islanders, surgeries, are you gonna? Yeah. I saw the Islanders in the mix for Tarasenko and maybe trading Bevilier and Eberle to get him. And I think that's absolutely crazy. That's a high price tag. You better know that Tarasenko is 100% healthy and the Tarasenko that he was when he won the cup. And I don't even know if I'd make the deal then. So it'll be interesting to see who goes out and gets him, but he can be a complimentary piece. I just wouldn't mortgage the future to go get Tarasenko. I wouldn't do that in reality or fantasy, just for the record, based on what I've seen from Tarasenko the last few years, which is just health related. You know, he's a great player, but he's not on the ice. He hasn't been on the ice. So what do you know about him?
Right. And you have to wonder about the direction of the Predators too. Like would a player like Forsberg be on the block? I know he wasn't happy about that Arvidsson trade, you know, fellow countryman type thing. So it's just something to look out for. But again, even with Eichel, I mean, there's a big injury concern with Jack Eichel, right? He hasn't had surgery. It seems like there's like been disagreements with him and the Sabres. They're still coming to a resolution. I mean, the season's going to start in a couple of months and he had, right? It sounded like he had like a neck injury or something. So that's another thing. As much as we're getting high on the upside of Eichel, once he's back healthy, there's a real chance that he might not be healthy for the start of the season because of how this thing is lingering on. So maybe that's why it's better to just be safe and wait till you hear all the information at hand and then place your preseason wager closer to October, you know?
I was going to bring that up, Pete. I mean, he still hasn't had surgery yet, which should have taken place in February or March at this point. So
right.
It's what, a neck injury or, you know, something with the spine or vertebrae. So the season is what, less than 3 months away about. So you have to figure whatever surgery he ends up getting, if he gets surgery, which he wanted, you know, he's not going to start the season wherever he ends up. So I agree with you. We kind of need to wait to see how that works out before we assess, you know, his future next season and bets or whatever on the team he joins.
Yeah, we'll definitely wait on that, especially since it's a pretty significant area to potentially be having surgery on. So two other names here on the NHL fantasy value gain story. You can catch this on NHL.com/fantasy. We'll keep you up to date with everything there. Two defensemen on the list. One is Charlie McAvoy, who, you know, has been a good fantasy standout the past few seasons, but we've kind of been waiting for him to take the next step in his career offensively. It looked like he did that, scoring better than a point per game in the postseason. I know Boston, you know, might be a little bit over the hill kind of, you know, forward wise, but you're still going to get a lot of bang for your buck in fantasy there. So McAvoy, I think, really entered that top 60 overall conversation. And then Pietrangelo, for Vegas was a guy that was simply sensational. He probably won a lot of people their playoff pools. If you counted shots on goal, he was a total beast in that category in the postseason. So Pietrangelo really, I think, kind of chiseled out a niche for himself. He led the whole NHL with 76 shots in the playoffs. If he can do that in the regular season, this is a player that three straight years or four straight years had double digit goals. You're going to see that once again with Vegas. So to overlook the regular season, focus on his postseason. That's a player I think Petey could win you a championship in fantasy next year.
Yeah, and he was so valuable in the postseason style of play and things like that. I know Theodore replicated what he did the previous year, but it was no question who was their more valuable defenseman postseason time when it mattered most. It was Pietrangelo. But I like McAvoy a little bit more. I would go as far to say as I would put McAvoy close to fringe top 10 among defensemen in fantasy for this coming season after what I saw. He's never really been utilized on the first power play on a full-time basis. Torrey Krug always had that spot entering this year. Even this year, it was always somebody else. It was Grizzlick or, you know, it was him on some shifts. But in the playoffs, he matched his career high from the regular season with 8 power play points. So equate that over a full regular season, 82 games is what we're expecting. So, I mean, McAvoy could have 20 to 25 power play points if he's a fixture on the first unit for Boston, even if Boston takes a little bit step back. I know like Tuukka Rask is dealing with an injury. He might not be ready for a few months. So we'll see what happens with that. But Charlie McAvoy, I think, has joined the upper echelon of real life defensemen and also showing some scoring pop fantasy wise in the playoffs. He might be in the Norris top 3 for next season, I'm thinking, for McAvoy. He's that good.
Yeah, I agree with you. His stock has definitely gone up pretty much every season. He's gotten better and better offensively and defensively. I mean, it helps when you have a guy like Char there as your mentor. But I like Pietrangelo better. And one thing that we didn't mention is, you know, Alec Martinez is an unrestricted free agent. I don't know if Vegas can sign him if they have the money or whatnot, but the guy had a broken foot and he still led the season and postseason in blocks. So if they don't have a guy like him, I know Pietrangelo probably leads them in minutes already, but, you know, does it put a little extra on him? He'll pretty much, I guess it, you'd have to think he would pretty much be on the power play and the first power play all the time when he's healthy. He missed time this season. But to me, if Martinez signs elsewhere, Pietrangelo's value goes up, you know, even though, as I said, he can't really play more minutes than he does, but you just, you'll probably see more offense from him, you know, more blocks, more hit, like that type of stuff. So I'm looking forward to see. I don't think Martinez will, you know, I just don't think Vegas has the money to re-sign him. And we know how great of a fantasy player he is too. But if he goes elsewhere, I think Pietrangelo's stock will go up.
Well, the bookmakers aren't down on Vegas for next season either. I mean, they're right up there in the top 3 odds to win the Stanley Cup. So take that for what it's worth. And I do think this postseason for them was a bit unlucky. I hate to say that, but it kind of does happen to one team every year in the NHL postseason where you just don't get the bounces. You don't get the breaks. And that's what happened to Vegas. They do need to go out and get a better center, in my opinion. But beyond that, I think they do have the depth pieces there with Alex Tuck and those guys. They can all take a little bit more of a step forward. William Carlson. Carlson's another name that's kind of on that list of value players in fantasy that gain something. So I like this Vegas team. Bobby, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm just thinking about George McPhee's reaction up there in the GM booth when Fleury kicked the puck behind the net and led to that goal. I think that might be the everlasting vision that I have for this Vegas team this year. And also one of the great images of this playoff run, it just goes to show you how competitive these guys are. Think about how competitive you guys are. Davey is in his fantasy leagues putting together these teams. Imagine times that by like 50 million with these presidents and GMs for each team. And that reaction is all you need to know on how competitive they are. And that probably swung the series. If we're being fair about it, that's when Montreal was like, okay, we have some confidence. Anyway, I'm going off on this tangent to show you how the margins are so thin. I mean, you put together a team, you put together this team, you put them in place, and Fleury kicks the puck, and you know, there's less than 2 minutes in the game. The puck goes in, Montreal goes on to win the series, go to the cup final. I don't know if Vegas would have beat Tampa. I don't think they would have. I really don't, after seeing just how Tampa can play any style they want, up and down. They want to tighten it up. They got the goalie. But it just goes to show you, the margins are so thin. And Vegas next year, I like the team. I think they're going to be right in the mix. I think George McPhee, I think the owner Foley is going to want to make the tweaks to get this team over the hump. They need, you know, a center, right? Isn't that what they're looking for? Some more goal scoring pop. So yeah, I like Vegas and they'll be right in the mix. But again, they probably would have been in the cup final if Fleury doesn't kick the puck late in that game against Montreal.
That's very true. And I think like Tampa Bay is a great example of what they've done now repeating. But think about how good they were for the earlier part of the past decade. You look at them now, body of work past 10 seasons, I was looking. They're third in regular season wins and first by a good margin in postseason wins over the past 10 seasons. But really up until, you know, prior to last season, they had nothing to show for it. They had just gotten swept by the Blue Jackets. So like, it's incredible. Like, but the patience does pay off. Now they're world beaters and they just did it again, regardless of circumstances.
This is the last thing I'll say.
Yeah. Vegas needs some tweaks. Colorado needs some tweaks in style of play and supporting cast. That's all they need. They don't need to blow up the whole thing and go crazy. And I think maybe Toronto needs just like maybe a little bit more tweaks than those two teams I mentioned, but similar type of thing. The style of play in the playoffs for those three teams, especially Colorado and Toronto, needs to change a little bit.
And Vegas also had to go through Minnesota and Colorado before getting to that Montreal series. If you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan and you're complaining, calm down. I mean, you've been in the league for how many years? You've made trips to the cup final. You've made trips to the conference final. This team will be tweaked. And yes, their window is closing a little bit, but they're going to be fine. And you should be happy. You should be happy as a Vegas fan. Yeah, you haven't lifted the cup. I understand it, but you just entered the league. Go take a look at some of these franchises. Petey could tell you about the Islanders, you know, from basically the 90s on. And there's a bunch of other franchises, Toronto in the mix. So everyone just calm down if you're a Vegas Golden Knights fan. McPhee and McCrimmon and the owner, they'll be okay. They'll figure it out.
Before we sign off, I did want to just throw out two goalies here. Get your opinion, Davey, on these guys for next year. Nedeljkovic for Carolina had a nice postseason. He went 4-5 with a .920 save percentage, and that's impressive considering they played and lost to Tampa in five games. So pretty good little sample size for him. And then the one I'm most excited about is Spencer Knight for the Florida Panthers. Again, I know we're hyping this team up, but look at the situation the team has. Bobrovsky has been super underwhelming in just about every sense of the word in fantasy the past few years since signing with the Florida Panthers. The postseason was certainly no different. He had a real tough time. 841 save percentage for Bob. Didn't really inspire confidence going into next year. And then finishing this regular season at an 906 save percentage, just not good enough. You're not going to get much in fantasy. So I think Spencer Knight has the pedigree to take that number one job. And you can't tell me going into next season that Bobrovsky's the outright number one. He'll get the nod because he's a veteran, but he has the leash of one game, two games at worst here, Davey.
I think you nailed it there. Spencer Knight, I mean, we could easily see this being a split. We know Joel Quenneville is not afraid to use him if he seems it necessary. So, you know, we have to assume Driedger is going to be elsewhere next year, the odd man out there. But going back to Nedeljkovic, he is a restricted free agent. They're going to sign him. I would think he's the number one next season. I mean, James Reimer and Peter Mrazek are both unrestricted free agents. I do think they'll sign one of them. They clearly won't sign both, but I think one of them will stay there, realize, hey, this is a good, we have a good chance to win a cup here. I know, I'm not going to play the full time with the rookie here, but I feel like Carolina, you know, they're a team that's right there too, if they get the right matchups in the playoffs. So I think if I had to choose between those two, Robbie, I'd probably choose Nedeljkovic just because he's probably going to start more and, you know, you'll get that volume. Sorry, I can't pronounce his
Davey,
name.
It's July 8th. And you're still having problems pronouncing Nedeljkovic. Can we get that straightened out for hopefully the start of next season? Thank you very much. And yes, the Carolina Hurricanes are another team that I would put on that list with the Minnesotas, with the Torontos. I don't know. Would I throw the Florida Panthers in there? Probably not, but they're going to be a better team. I think they came together and figured some things out under Coach Q. So those are some of the teams. And of course, listen, what do we think about the Islanders? There's a bunch of teams that you can take some long shot plays on. The Islanders are probably going to be a little bit of a mess. I think they might have to make a bunch of tweaks. Anyway, that's all I got. PD, I know you're going to, we get the last word here, and then we got to put a bow on this thing.
I just got the last word on the Panthers. I mean, you could look at them and say, could they were the better team at 5-on-5 against the Lightning in the first round. They took them to six games. They started Spencer Knight in game five facing elimination. He beat the Lightning at home. Then he lost to the Lightning the next game, but had a 9-33 in those two games. Remember, nobody beats the Lightning the past 2 years in consecutive games. Meanwhile, this kid's a 20-year-old rookie, and they're going to get Aaron Ekblad back, and the Hurricanes might lose Dougie Hamilton. It could happen. So in terms of that debate, I really love Spencer Knight. I'm really interested to see what his ADP is going to be, if he's going to get a little overvalued. If not, if he's available in maybe the top 10, 15 among goalies, slam dunk for me. I'm taking him every single time, you know, in fantasy for the upcoming season.
And I think Chris Drieger is going to be the goaltender for the Seattle Kraken, the NHL's newest franchise. So just have Knight right there in the waiting room. And like I said, one bad game from Bob, Knight raffles off three wins in a row, and that's the number one job, just like that. Put a bow on it for the Florida Panthers. So I really like that situation for Knight. The Carolina Hurricanes, I was glad to see that they made a good pitch to Rod Brind'Amour there for coach, but that is one team that you just don't know contractually if who they're going to keep, and so just wait and see on that. But yeah, good things happening, a lot of good fantasy storylines that will keep you updated throughout the offseason on. Gentlemen, it's been a tremendous season. I think the past two, we can just agree, it's just been hockey compressed into such a tight amount of time. You know, my head is still kind of spinning, but I think we did the best. We made the best of it and had a lot of fun along the way.
Yes, we did the best that we could on the circumstances. I remember doing these shows early on in the pandemic before Zoom, and we all just came together and did what we could. A big credit to everyone that comes on the show, from James Harding, Davey Satriano, Nick Alberga, all the folks over at the Action Network, Michael Lieboff, Matt Russell, the works. So everyone's been helpful. The listeners have hung with us. They've listened to me blab and we'll be back in a couple weeks. We'll be back in a couple weeks. So Petey, put a bow on it, the final time for the 2021 season. And then we'll look ahead to the 21-22 campaign, baby.
Yeah, we'll probably take a little time off here and then get back at you around the expansion draft in later July, and then the draft itself and free agency and maybe an Eichel trade, maybe some other big names on the move. We will definitely break it all down with you. So for Bobby Bender, Rob Reese, Davey Satz, Pete Jensen, talk to you next time. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Leave us a review, by the way, if you haven't already. We appreciate the support, and we'll be back at you on the other side.